Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? Talk Radio. It's March 1st, 2016, alongside the talented Kishi Free and the always insightful Troy Wilson, bringing you the news, the NFL rumors, the combine, and today, big day for Women's Gridiron, the third annual Women's World Football Games 3 at the New Orleans Saints facility. Kicks off today all the way down to March 6th. So there's a lot of excitement going on in the women's game. A major event internationally. Over 220 players from 17 countries are in the Bayou to witness and develop. Get teachings from developmental to fundamental to orientation. You're going to have Dr. Jen Welker there, as well as Katie Sowers in the orientation session today on the first day, and then practice tomorrow and going forward, and then the last day of actual competition between two squads, and they'll join up that way. So, Troy, what do you think of that? Pretty exciting times right now in the women's game, especially with USA Football involved, which is major at this point. And then you have everybody pretty much flying in today. Session orientation is from 12 to 5, and then from 5:30 to and on, it's going to be just a first day, and then tomorrow first practice.
Yeah, I mean, when it starts to get ramped up like this, I mean, you're always excited, just the beginning of the season. And, everybody's looking forward to it. This is anytime you have the beginning, everyone's hopes are up. Everyone is starting off 0-0 right now. So the expectations for your team, everything is, they're all on the sunny side. Everyone's in a good mood. So you always like to see the beginning. Especially like the first practices and things like that, because you want to see all the excitement amongst the team. So I know everyone's excited, and we're all so excited to watch them play.
Yeah, and this is a huge event because it's it puts together a lot of players from every league in the international realm. So it's kind of a gathering. It's kind of more of a conference type mentality where players can learn from different aspects, and we're talking players from 17 different countries that come to this event. Obviously, hats off to Sam Rappaport and Elizabeth Foss and the crew at USA Football for putting this event together, and the Saints for facilitating their facility for this event. But, a lot to learn. There's a lot of things that players from other countries can take so that they can get better. And in terms of getting better, it just sets them up for great competition in the international scene now, given that IFAB's got Olympic status now. So hopefully we're going to see, not just the men's American football in the Olympics, but we'll see the women's side as well. And that's a huge honor to represent your country, especially in a huge Olympic state. In 2010 and 2013, they were representing their country in the IFAB World Championships, which is, huge, but nothing compared to an Olympics. So hopefully we get to that stage.
Yeah, and I just like to see how the popularity of the game is spreading. Because, initially it was mostly, coming from Super Bowl viewership. Because, that's and now the Super Bowl has always been like a worldwide event. And now, with the you had NFL Europe, and then you have a few games being played over in London. You have some football games being played down in Mexico. And, you know, you're starting to see, we also had games being played in Japan. So just to see the world start to take on, you know, this this excitement of football, and then watching the ladies get involved with it, I mean, now it's starting to become a worldwide thing. So anytime we can spread knowledge about the game and, you know, the proper way to play it, it's always a great thing. And then to watch the excitement with everyone, man, you got to love that.
Yeah, and Kishi, I think she's here with us. Welcome back, and Kishi.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. We're just talking about
the women's
game in New Orleans and how it's, you know, how it's impacted its third event, and it's making huge waves. Over 220 players from 17 different countries, all coming together this weekend from the 1st to the 6th. So huge moment, huge event. And it's a stepping stone, obviously, towards bigger things.
Well, I definitely agree. And I've been trying to keep up with everything on Twitter and on social media, and it's been a whirlwind. And I don't know if our fabulous, awesome listeners know, but my son was in his first performance in a major starring role. So he's following his mother's footsteps into the theater. And, I was a performing artist for many years growing up, as well as a theater minor. So if you guys can imagine, between rehearsals and practices and performances, my life has belonged to the stage again. And it's very different to be a stage mom as opposed to being a performer. So it was a unique experience, but I've missed you all very much. So I'm still trying to play catch up and get back into a sports mind now that we're done with the lights and glitz of the stage.
Well, you came back at a perfect time, because this is the biggest event in the international scene for women's gridiron, women's football. It is, you know, the best of the best. A lot of the players come from, like I said, 17 different countries, and within each country there's probably two or three leagues, and then, you know, elite leagues and also minor leagues. So it's great to have that. And then last weekend, while you were gone, we had the first Mexico national tournament between Lexfa and FX Mexico, which they're setting up, put together their team for the IFAB World Championships in 2017. Just like the week before you were gone, the Australian Outback team, with Jen Welker visiting them, setting up the same thing for their team for 2017. So it's kind of exciting. Now you got Mexico, Australia, you got all the European teams in the scene before that, England. There's a lot of interest in the women's game, and I think the participation in 2017, instead of just five teams, we're looking at maybe an 8 to 10 pool team tournament, which is going to be very huge.
Hello, can you guys still hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, sorry, I have a technical difficulty. I heard you and then you went out for me in just a second. Well, I think, you know, it definitely is huge, and it definitely speaks to the popularity of the sport, and in terms of, you know, what it's to the women's game. And what I'm really hoping is that the popularity internationally will definitely, I guess, help elevate the game here in the States.
Yeah, and that's the goal at this point. Today in the huddle, just on the same lines of everything, the game has inspired a lot of girls, not just from Jen Welker or Sam Gordon or, you know, Carly Harmon, but there's a lot of young girls coming in into the realm and actually, you know, wanting to be at that next level. So hopefully down the road, like we talked about, maybe in 10 years from now, we're talking, you know, progression in that point. But today in the huddle, we're going to have the talented Brooke Lipsky from the Kansas, the Liberty High School Eagles. And she's going to be with us today in a couple minutes here. And she's going to talk about, you know, the experience. She's been actually training in some sessions with QB Katie Sowers, who is at the event today in New Orleans. But the last couple of weeks, Brooke has been basically training with Katie. So we'll get some insights in terms of how that's gone and how inspirational that could be as well. And so it's a huge moment. Jen Welker there, Katie Sowers there at the Women's World Football Game. So, NFL-wise, all we can say is either RG3 to L.A. or Peyton Manning to L.A., and I don't know if that's even good for L.A.
I don't see Peyton Manning going to L.A. I think Peyton needs to, especially in light of everything else, let it ride. Just go quietly into that good night.
Yeah, I mean,
Troy, what do you think?
I don't think that Peyton is ready to give it up. And, you know, it's that when you played at that high level, it's hard to let those things go. But I think, I mean, man, Peyton had to see this film, you know, of the games that he's been playing in. And he just hasn't been playing well at all. I mean, he just did not finish the season well in the middle of the season. He looked bad. He couldn't make a lot of the throws. I mean, let's face it, the reason why they won the Super Bowl was because of that defense. It was no question about it. And even Peyton, you know, saying what, you know, at the end of the championship game, he was giving, you know, props to the defense. But I just think, and maybe I'm out of line for saying this, but I just think it's kind of selfish on his part to try to wait this long. I mean, you know, Denver kind of wants to see what he's going to do, and Denver wants to do right by Peyton Manning. I mean, because if Peyton says he's going to come back, I think Denver has no choice but to cut, you know. But you don't want to have your Super Bowl champion go out like that. You don't want to have a guy like Peyton Manning who's done a lot for your organization to go out like that. But Peyton has to let it go. I mean, especially now when, you know, the deadline just now went past as far as, like, you know, having your franchise player, which they give him to Von Miller. But, you know, these guys have a salary cap to deal with. And Peyton Manning is technically, I believe he's still under contract. So, you know, I just found it selfish on his part, you know, especially the way that he played. I mean, what he needed to do was just let it go and give it up.
God, Troy, you sound like a GM guy right now. What's going on?
I'm just calling it how I see it, man. I just, you know,
it's starting to hit your pocketbook and that cap. You're just worried about where that $7.5 million is going to go, right?
Worry though. But you have to worry because in addition to the cap, it also impacts what they can do in the draft as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna, and you know what? I don't want him to go out as Emmitt Smith did in Arizona or Joe Namath in Los Angeles. I mean, that's just bad. Just go,
well,
like
okay.
You said, just cut the umbilical cord and move on. Just ride in the sunset.
Yeah.
Good career.
Yeah, maybe.
Finish, you know, that's it.
Does he want to be O.J. Simpson in San Francisco? No, he doesn't want to be that guy. You know, it's just not good, man.
And it's not. And as much as I hate to say it, and it's going to hurt my heart, you don't want to be Michael Jordan in D.C.
Whoa.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Michael Jordan was averaging 20 points and was an All-Star last year in D.C., so. That was too
no, remember, no, I'm talking about
what,
when
okay,
he,
what
I'm
is
talking
it?
About
what
when
is
he
it?
Left.
Juice lemon on a wound now?
No, I'm talking about when he left, became an owner, and then had to relinquish his ownership to return back to the team that one last time. And then when he came, after he played that one season, he didn't get his minority ownership back. Remember that? Oh, that one I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Michael Jordan.
But I feel so bad for him because he's got he's not making much money right now. I feel bad for him.
Right.
You hush.
Yeah.
You hush.
Yeah.
You
only
are so
a billionaire.
Bad.
He's only a billionaire. Yeah. Shed a tear. Dropping tears.
Killing me, Troy. It's killing me. I wish I was in that mansion or three mansions or however mansion he's got.
Cry himself to sleep on his $5,000 pillowcases. He'll be fine.
Now that's his 5,000 thread count sheets.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
but you know
I'm
what
not,
he is.
I'm a
though,
big Jordan fan.
Know.
I'm a big Jordan fan. And you are
and
you are
on
right.
Them.
But what I'm saying is, you got to go out when you got to go out. Like Nkechi was saying, you know, this is probably just why wait it off. Just you should have announced it right after the Super Bowl. You know, that should have been a decision.
Absolutely.
Right there
was right then and there. And then to say, oh, well, I don't want to take away from this moment with my team. Dude, this moment with your team, people are waiting all this all year. So you're not taking anything away. People are waiting for you to end the spectacle. That's right. Actually taking more away from your team.
Yeah, I mean, he's
yeah, that's and that's horrible. But like Tori's point, Now we got logistics to deal with, so I don't know. That's going to be crazy. So, you know, you guys, we have great news. I want to report, and we got Brooke coming on here in a couple minutes. We have great news. Sarah Heat Crespi, who is one of our big supporters from day one in 2010, and she had other things going on. She's part of the FX group, and she's part of the P9 Vietnamitas in central Mexico. She just has decided to go ahead and support us with brand support as well. And then we also have the talented Matilda Quist out of the Newcastle Cobras of Great Iron New South Wales, who has decided to also come on board. I'm getting an influx of a lot of people that now want to support our brand, and this is like a huge moment for me, not just me, but in general for the brand. And hopefully this is the year we elevate it to another level in terms of exposure, so that people really understand that, you know, girls and women do play American football. And just, it's going to be, 2016 seems like it's going to be just a huge year for that statement.
Well, congratulations, first of all, Oscar, to you for, one, having the foresight to recognize and support this particular venue of women's athletics in general, you know, but also the temerity to stay with it, you know, because this hasn't been easy. This can't be easy to invest and believe in a sport that, you know, the average person does not see yet and or value. And yet you've done it, and you believed in it and believed in these ladies. So, you know, truthfully, you're entitled to some kudos. Way to go, Oscar.
Yeah, and it's great to hear stories from them wanting to do this now, because this is, they know how impactful things can be, especially with a lot of things going on and the way that things are going out, progression. You got the, you know, the World Games events, you got IFAB championships coming up. I mean, just a lot of excitement over the sport in general.
Yeah, and, you know, you being an ambassador like this, man, I mean, I just think it's awesome. I mean, because, you know, you fly the flag for women's football, and just, you know, bringing the exposure that you've done, that you're doing right now, and that you have done, I concur with what Kishi said. I mean, just, you know, bringing this kind of excitement to it, and, you know, having people kind of gravitate to what you're doing with it, I couldn't say enough about it, man. So I definitely admire you, brother.
Yeah, and it's taken a lot of work, and there's more work to be done, but that's okay. You know, as my drill sergeant told me, if you can't get over the hill, you must get over the hill. So we're going for the must. So it's going to be, you know, a little bit of time, but it'll happen.
I love it.
Now, we're going to have In the No Joke Football Huddle, sponsored by Zazzle.com. You can go to Zazzle at www.zazzle.com/gridironbeauties. You can get up to 50% off on any shirts and anything in the inventory. And if you go to our shop, you decide you don't like anything in our shop, which I doubt you will not like stuff, you can also go to any other Zazzle shop, and then we get credit for the visit as well. So it helps us and the project as well. So why don't we bring one of the talented young ladies that is, you know, in the sport, just like Carly Harmon before, Sam Gordon, and a lot of the other girls that we've interviewed on this show. Let's bring in the talented Brooke Libeskind of the Liberty High School Eagles. Brooke, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Brooke. Good afternoon. Good evening out there to you. You're on with Oscar Lopez and Kishi Free and Troy Wilson. We're very excited to have you on, and thank you for being a part of the project with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Brooke, I know your dad, Larry, and your mommy, Tammy, big supporters of what you're doing right now in terms of, you know, playing on a boys' team. Can you tell the audience here and us how that experience has been for you?
The experience has been pretty fun. They're my biggest supporters. They're at every game I'm playing in. They're up there in the stands yelling my name, saying go Brooke and all that. And if some bad play gets called, they always say, why didn't you call that play?
Are you excited for the season that you have now going on?
Yep, I am so ready for sophomore season.
Go ahead, Troy.
Hey, how's it going? This is Troy Wilson.
Hi.
Hey, so tell me, let me know, give us some insight onto your preparation for the season. I mean, because, you know, typically back when I was playing, you know, long time ago, you know, our off-season workouts were pretty extensive, especially like in the spring. So how are you preparing for your upcoming season that you have?
I am preparing right now. I'm practicing with Katie Sowers. She plays on the Kansas City Titans. She's a quarterback, and she's teaching me a lot of stuff that I haven't even learned from my coaches at my school. So it's basically getting me ready for sophomore year, for me to go in and know what I'm supposed to do. And if I probably wouldn't have been practicing with her, I'd probably just be at home sitting down or doing something else that wouldn't be really productive.
Gotcha.
And I also been weightlifting at school every morning, all week, every week.
So as a quarterback and you're weightlifting, so what kind of exercises do you usually concentrate on? Is it your arms? Is it more so legs? Is it a little bit of both?
Yeah, a little bit of both, but more in the arms, because the more muscle in your arms and the more muscle in your abs, the farther you can throw and the harder you can throw.
Absolutely. It increases your torque ratio. Very good. So are you a lefty or are you a right-hand quarterback?
Right-hand.
Right-handed. Cool. All right.
Hi, this is Tishy. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Troy. No, go ahead. Get your last one in. Sorry, my bad.
I'll wait. Go ahead.
Well, no, my only question was going to be to piggyback off of Troy's comment in terms of the training and the preparation. And, of course, I didn't play quarterback at all. And the one position I actually wanted to play was kicker because I started in soccer. So I actually wanted to be the field goal kicker for my college team. So in terms of, you know, your preparation and building your strength, because one of the things they talk about, of course, with a quarterback is depth and how, you know, so what's the longest you've been able to throw the pigskin?
My longest throw is my very first touchdown I threw was a 45-yard pass.
Woo!
Nice.
That's beautiful.
Nice.
That's so beautiful. Very, very nice.
That's a
nice
strike, by the way. That's a big strike.
My dad won't play catch with me because I throw it too hard and it hurts his hands.
That's good.
I love it.
It's good.
I love it.
I feel
that's
bad
awesome
for him. I know that's going to be a rocky shoot. You got anything else?
They're more like
no, I wanted to jump in and get my question in, and I, you know, like I said, I didn't know Troy had another question, so I'm going to go ahead and let Troy finish his questions first. So I yield back to the gentleman from D.C.
Gotcha.
Go ahead, Troy.
Hey, I was wondering, so, you know, amongst your classmates in your school, how are they responding to you being on the football team and being a quarterback? I mean, you got to be a star right now, huh?
All my classmates are supportive. All of the other football players on the team are supportive. If something going on with me or something, they would ask what's wrong. They would always stick up for me if something happens. But they're basically all supportive.
Gotcha. That's a beautiful thing. So congratulations and good luck on your next season.
Thank you.
Oscar?
Hi, Brooke. Brooke, how did all this come about? I mean, because when you're normally in high school, for a girl to get on a boys squad, it doesn't necessarily go to that type of position, the main position, which is usually quarterback, it's usually kicker or some other position. How did the coaches get to the state where they felt that you have what it takes to be their leader of their team? Because that's a big, big supportive statement right there from a coach.
Last year, I was wide receiver, and one day I was just throwing with the coach, and he saw how good I was. Well, he looked over at the other quarterbacks and said, "You guys have competition." Well, that day he had told me that he was making me starting quarterback in the middle of the year. So then ever since I've been quarterback, and then at the beginning of football season, the last day of school, at practice, we were throwing, and he had us throwing four long balls and fastballs and all that, and he saw how good I was. And I had to compete with two other guys, and I had made starting, so, because they saw how good my footwork was, how far I could throw, and we practiced all summer long, and it just got to my head that I can do better and train better.
Now, Brooke, on the aspect of a playbook, was it kind of a thing to learn at this point, or was it somewhat easy since you were a wide receiver with the playbook?
Yeah, I'm really good with memorization of the playbook. I'll sit there. I usually write all the plays down on a whiteboard so it gets into my head so I remember it. And then just right before Katie Sowers just left to go to Louisiana, she texted me and she left me with homework to learn coverages and all that to read defense. So that's what I'm focusing on right now.
Well, it sounds great. I mean, Katie is such an amazing teacher as well. So I'm glad that you hooked up with her because, like I said, she's a really good mentor. And so how has that been with her when you first met her? Was it exciting at this point? How did that, how did that gathering come about?
Last year she came to one of my games. I met her, and then I just started practicing with them. She started teaching me other stuff that I didn't know yet, and it's just all come about. And the whole team supports me, and they're all basically my family, my second family.
Wow. Did you get a chance to throw to any of the Titan receivers? And who is the favorite receiver that caught most of your balls?
Liz Sowers. She always caught my balls. When they would do passes and all that, they would tell me to get in there because there's a lot of receivers. And we'll go through two lines, and me and Katie will both be the quarterback throwing to the receivers.
Oh, that's nice. That's sweet. Brooke, I'm assuming you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan at this point, right?
Kind of. I'm a big...
Kind of?
Yeah.
Okay,
kind of?
So who is your other favorite team? Who's your real favorite team?
Yeah, who's your other favorite team?
Denver Broncos.
Oh, okay.
You're a Bronco fan in Kansas City.
Yeah.
wow.
It happens.
Okay.
It happens.
I know it happens.
I'm a Cowboys fan.
I know it happens.
DC,
I'm a Ram fan in Northern California, so I know it
happens.
But you got
options. Your team is at least coming back to the West Coast.
So Brooke, what did you think of the Super Bowl?
When I watched the Super Bowl, I was kind of nervous. I mean, it was kind of hard because I love Peyton Manning. I've always have. But then Cam Newton, I've seen all this stuff that he's been doing and how good of a quarterback he is. Like, I'll go back and I'll watch his videos on how his footwork is and how he reads the defense. And just the other day, I sold a lot of my stuff so I could buy Cam Newton cleats for this upcoming sophomore season.
Wow. So you are on the dab.
Yeah.
All right. I don't blame you. I'm on the dab over here with you. I do not blame you. Well, you know, actually, I do want to ask another question because when Oscar was asking you earlier about, you know, being able to study the playbooks and read defenses, you know, and you talked about studying Peyton Manning. And one of the things he was really good at was watching and calling the audibles right there on the line, looking at the defense, looking at how they set up. And then as soon as he's ready to call a play, then if they shift, he's able to figure out what adjustments have to be made at the line. Is that something that you think
is going to be a requirement for you at your level, or is that something, or is that a skill you're still working to attain? Because I don't think high schools are quite doing that yet, but I could be wrong since I don't play.
Yeah, they're our coaches, they haven't taught us that yet. Well, that's why Katie is teaching me early. So that way, right when I walk in there, I know how to read a defense, and the coach sees that and sees that I'm good at reading the defense. It gives me a more advantage to get starting and maybe even get JV.
Well, that's awesome. That's great to, and I know Katie's amazing. And Katie's probably, I don't know if she told you, but Katie's probably one of the top quarterbacks in the WFA in terms of yardage. So she's been very, very successful every season. So bodes well for her. Brooke, what other things besides being a girl on a football field do we do off the field? What's some of your hobbies off the field?
I metal detect. I mow lawns during the summer to make money, and I also just got my first car. I mean, I'm only 15, but my dad's working on a 1987 Jeep Wrangler for me. So we're working on that right now on the weekends. In my free time, I'll go out and ride my moped around a little. And this year for sophomore season, you know, my school is right up the road, and to ride a moped on the streets, you can have a permit. So I think I'm going to do that. So it makes a big commitment. And I'm always the first one there at practice. No one else is. And always the coach walks in and sees that I'm always there. So they're all happy about that. And everybody else is late.
Is there anybody on your team you want to give a shout-out right now, besides your wide receivers, which are always favorites, but your offensive line maybe? Who's one of your names that you can – let us know exactly at the Liberty High School who's contributed to obviously your yardage gains and your you know, touchdowns.
It would probably be my the other A-team quarterback, Jackson Bodenson. He's been a real supporter of me. He's always nice to me. He sticks up for me. And like if I mess up something, he'd be like, "You'll get it right. Just keep on working on it." And we work together to figure stuff out, and sometimes we have to go our own ways to figure stuff out.
Well, great. And what's the name of your coach or your coaches that maybe you want to give out a nice shout-out to?
I would say Coach Pugh and Coach Clemens.
And Coach Pugh and Coach Clemens, were they in, you know, the people that got you involved into football, or was it something that you signed up for when you got to high school at this point?
Yeah, it was just something I signed up for. I signed up for wide receiver though, but they made me a quarterback.
It's not a bad thing, and not a bad thing to be a quarterback, especially on. Yeah, exactly. We've talked to Carly Harmon. I don't know if you know Carly Harmon's story before, but Carly Harmon also a quarterback. And Hurts team as well. So, you know, congratulations to you for making it to, you know, the top level on a team. If you're a quarterback, and not just because you're a girl, but if you're a quarterback, that represents leadership, and that's that means you got good qualities.
Exactly. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, I do have one other question. If you could play any other position other than quarterback, what would you play?
I would play receiver.
My girl, that's what I totally feel you. I love throwing the ball around with my dad. But like I said, you know, I wanted to be the kicker just because I love playing soccer. And it's so ironic because now you see that they're starting to get an influx of, you know, international players from rugby and soccer and, you know, starting to come into that position. So there's a recognition of the need for the strength in the legs. So congratulations again.
Thank you.
Now, Brooke, are you working towards anything beyond high school? Because I know, you know, if you go into playing women's football, it's pretty much on your own. It's not like college, anything like that. So is there anything else that you're going with, like soccer, basketball? Is there any other – you know, for scholarship purposes besides women's football at this point, which isn't offered in college. What's some of the ideas that you guys have talked about, maybe you and your parents, about that?
I never thought about playing basketball or anything. I felt like I'm better at football. I've had more experience with it, and I just love the sport. Every time I go out there, I have a smile on my face, especially when I practice with the KC Titans. It is just so fun out there. Like, I'm ready for practice, to practice with them. I always have a smile on my face in every picture, and they have been pretty nice to me. They special made me a quarterback red jersey with my number 13 on it, and they gave that to me the other day, so that was a really good gift. And in my future, the one thing I would love to see is women's football go pro.
Yeah, and that's what we're striving for. So it's going to be girls like you and Sam Gordon, Carly Harmon, just like Dr. Jen Welker. Hopefully we get to that stage, and that's our goal for everybody, I think, to see a WNFL at some point down the road, and that would be awesome to see you in a pro level. Brooke, what can you say about your mom and dad at this point with the journey? A lot of time put in to you and stuff. What can you say about your mom and dad?
My mom, she loves the huddle all the time, and they're really big supporters. They're at every game, just like I said. And my mom is tired of washing all my football stuff when I come home from a muddy game or a muddy
That sounds like my mom.
At every game, my mom wears a shirt, and on the back of it has number 13, and it says, "Girls can't what?" with a question mark.
Nice, nice.
That sounds like my mother at our games as well. So I think every mom hates laundry, but would rather be in the stands with a clean shirt.
Yeah.
How about your dad, Brooke? What has your dad done for you in terms of this journey as well?
When I first wanted to start football, he was thinking about it. My mom was like, "Well, I don't know about it." Well, then the next day, my mom and dad had talked about it, and my dad talked my mom into letting me try out for it. And I started when I was 8 years old. And the next day, they took me for a surprise to go get signed up for football. And that was a really special day to me because the next day we had practice. And ever since, all the guys have been nice to me. My dad is really supportive of me. Like, he'll sit there, try to teach me things, tell me what I'm doing wrong, show me what I'm doing wrong, and they just both love to be at my games all the time.
Awesome. Brooke, your dad inquired with us. We're very, very happy that you have, taking the responsibility to support our project gear, which you should be getting this week.
Yes, thank you.
And so I wanted to really thank you for that, because it's going to take a lot of people like yourself and a lot of people to bring the awareness to the sport. And then hopefully in your time frame and in ours, that we will see a real pro league here in the States. And that's going to be a huge end result for a lot of the people like Katie Sowers and Dr. Jen Welker, who have paved the way to this. So do you see a lot of that at school right now, that you guys, you're finally getting the respect as girls that you guys can't play this game?
Yeah, it's been weird at school, because like everybody's like always, like everybody in the school is talking to me. Senior guys are even talking to me that are on the football team. Some that I don't even know, those come up and start a conversation with me. I think they have seen all this and have thought to themselves, "Well, okay, she can do just anything we can do." They just all have been coming up and talking to me randomly in the halls and in class and all that.
Well, that's great. Great to hear. How about your teachers and everybody in the school? They've been supportive in terms of, you know, obviously athletics. Sometimes, you know, because education gets in the way of athletics sometimes. So in that aspect, are you tackling both sides?
Every game day when we wear our game jerseys to school, through the hallways, we would be in class, and all the teachers would say, I hope you do good on your game today, and go out there and get them. Hope you guys win. They would always congratulate all the teammates, not just me. I'm just as treated as much as all the guys are. I don't like special treatment.
Good for you. Well, Brooke, I have a quick question since, you know, we're in Oscar's, you know, talking about, you know, what do you see down the road? Do you see yourself already at such an early age as a role model for other young girls who want to play the sport? Because I know with me being on the show, now my daughter are taking more, well, one of them is taking more of an interest, you know, in football, and she keeps telling me, okay, Mommy, I want to play. Mommy, I want to play. I want to play, you know, and so, you know, it's really, and you know, it's not like I'm going to say, oh, well, no, you can't play, because clearly she can see, you know, from her mom doing it. So do you see other young girls now trying to emulate you and wanting to go into the sport of football?
Yeah, I've gotten messages all over Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that. They ask me, should I try out? Is it hard? They'll ask me all these questions, and can I do it? And I also know a couple weeks ago I went to my middle school to give my teachers pictures because my whole middle school has pictures of me all over the school, and all the kids would ask, is that Brooke? And everybody knows me. I know when I walked in my old math class, the teacher goes, she's going to play football for the school. And I said, really? Well, I figured out that it's my friend's sister. And she said that I was basically her role model because she came to my games to watch me play and to see if she could do it. So she said she's going to play football just because she's been watching me.
That sounds great. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel exciting?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it makes me feel pretty great when people message me and all that and ask me questions.
Now, Brooke, you got the Titans right at home at this point. Are you riding with them all year at this point after your football season is over in the stands? Or is there any talk about how you're going to be on the bench maybe, on the sidelines, or –
Hopefully, their home games, I'm going to be at every home game. I'll be on the sideline with them. I'll be right next to Katie. I mean, you know, she'll be going to the game, but I'll be sitting there on the bench, and hopefully on the road trips, I'll get to go with them. I've already talked to Katie about that. So it'll be a fun ride. I'm going to stay with it because they're all nice people, and they're just like my second family.
Yeah, and they're amazing women overall, and they're all in the same boat that you are. They started out young, and they love this sport, and that in turn, it's a connection for everybody. Brooke, we're going to send you the gear this week. You should receive it. I hope that you'll share some picks for us, and we'll go ahead and showcase you as one of our mainstays as well. I know we've done it on social media, on your Instagram, on your Twitter and all that, and just to get the word out. A lot of people don't realize, you know, that girls play American football now, and guess what? Girls do play American football because today in New Orleans, where Katie's at, 220 amazing women from about 17 countries are playing American football, which is just mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did Katie say what she was doing down there in New Orleans? Did she tell you what's going to happen down there?
No, she just told me that she was going to talk to Jen Welter, and the other day I saw that she was going to be gone for like 6 days, and I thought to my her and Liz, I said, 6 days, I can't even take that. I said, just come back now because I already missed you guys.
I know, it seems like months probably, right, when she said that. It was like, whoa,
yeah.
You're on vacation.
So then she sends me with homework.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, it didn't. I don't think that went well, pretty well, because a teacher to a student, you're expecting something else.
Oh, wow.
So, Brooke, the moment, when does your season kick off? Are you already in season, or when does your football season kick off?
I'll start practice this summer, well, the last day of school. And my first game is in August.
Oh, so it's actually in August. So you got a couple months to get a leg up on everybody, and especially with training with Kansas City, the Titans. I think you're going to get a lot of benefit from it, which, you know, normally you would have to pay for a coaching status or a clinic, which is amazing that the Sauer sisters are doing that for you. They're all amazing women.
Yes, they very are. I'm very thankful for them for doing what they're doing.
Did you know that Katie and Liz were on the USA team in 2013? Did they tell you that?
Yeah, I saw her helmet at practice the other day and asked her where she got it.
Did she tell you she was in, I believe, in Finland as well? And
I'm not sure.
Okay, no problem. Brooke, are you are available? Can you let the fans know where they can get a hold of you if they need to? Obviously, you've already got a lot of messages from other folks. Can you tell the fans as to where they can interact with you, like on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, if you got it? I don't know if you have Snapchat or not, but can you let them know?
Yeah, you can search me on Facebook. My name is Brooke Leaps. You can Google me, Brooke Leaps, or you can Google female quarterback, and it'll come up with my name also. And my Snapchat is Brooke Leaps also. It's basically all Brooke Leaps. Just search my name and you'll find my stuff.
Awesome. Great job. We'll thank your dad, Larry, and your mom, Tammy, for inviting us to interview you. And then we are more than excited to have you on today. So we're glad that you came on. We are very appreciative that you are wanting to promote the women's game through our project. And hopefully, in the next couple of days, you'll get the gear and we'll see that posted. And we welcome you back at another time after your season's over, kind of talk about what happened at Liberty High and, what's going on there. And you're always welcome to come on if you'd like to talk about the Kansas City Titans experience during the season when they kick off.
Yeah, I'm very excited for the clothes. I've been asking my dad all week, when are they going to be in? When are they going to be in?
That's awesome.
They should be there in a couple
of
days.
Thank you so much. No, Brooke, thank you so much for being on the show with us, and thank you again for all your support for, women's football and trying to help us spread the brand and the word. And, again, congratulations on your job as the quarterback, and that is amazing. And I can't wait to start following you on social media to keep up with what all you're doing so I can share with my daughters.
Thank you.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Brooke. Thank you, Brooke. Thank your dad, Larry, and Tammy for the time, and we'll be in touch on social media and also on email. And thank you again, you guys, and look forward to the shirts this week. You should get them. If you do not get them, let me know, but you should get them hopefully by Friday, if not sooner. And we'll look forward to some pics to share. So have a great evening, Brooke. And once again, thanks your dad and your mom, and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Well, that was Brooke, and she's the quarterback of the Liberty High Eagles in Kansas City. So, what better teacher than Katie Sauers? That's like having Peyton Manning teaching you how to quarterback. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, Katie's definitely amazing. And I definitely enjoyed talking to her and catching up and just listening to her, and her football acumen is just off the charts.
Yeah, I was happy to hear that she learned how to read defenses. I mean, when I was in high school, I mean, a lot of the high school kids that I played with didn't know how to read defense. They didn't know a cover two between taking a number two. So, I mean, just to hear her learning coverages, I think that's awesome, man. I mean, that's the greatest attribute that you can find from a quarterback, is knowing what to do. What, like, as soon as you line up, or as soon as you see the ball snap and people start going in one direction, you already know where to throw the ball. I mean, it's almost like cheating on a test, man. So to hear her say that, it gave me a warm feeling, man. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
And,
I'm not going to lie. As much as I follow football, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm an X's and O's person, because I'm not. You know, I have a very clear understanding of what's happening, and I'm very clear, you know, and very knowledgeable about the game and the sport. But the point of being able to manage and read a playbook, it's not something that's ever interested me in terms of the sport. So I'm always impressed by those who can do it.
Hey, Keisha.
And
if you ever need to learn how to read coverages, all you need to do is talk to my wife. I forced her to sit down and listen to what coverages are in defense. So she knows
yes, I've
I'm
heard.
Through right and it was so delightful to hear her regurgitate. Oh, she sees the safeties back there and they go back. That's cover two. Yay. I know. It was the greatest thing ever, man.
Well, you know what it is? I think probably because I probably, in all honesty, I pay more attention to what's happening on offense and less on defense. It doesn't mean that I'm not clear on, you know, blitzing and, you know, and this, and I can watch formation shift and things like that. I mean, I'm very clear in understanding what's happening, you know. But as far as being able to literally sit there and say, he went slant, right, left, right, double Y, Z, I don't care. I don't care. That's literally sometimes to me like somebody having a conversation with me in Greek, French, German, and Russian, and switching up throughout and switching the entire sentence to a different language at different points in time. That being said, I will still find something that I understand about every single one, every other word I will understand, regardless of which language it's in, and still be able to understand what was said to me. So that's kind of the way I feel, you know, in that regard. And that might be a terrible thing as a female to say, because there's all these judgments about women and this, that, and the other. But, Troy, you know me long enough to know my football acumen is on point.
True.
I'm just not a playbook.
But wouldn't it be so awesome, though, if you could speak 10 languages? Wouldn't you want to do that? Like, wouldn't that be fun? That'd be nice. I'm just saying, you know. Whenever you need to know, I got you covered.
You know what, the only time that ever comes in play is when it comes to men challenging me about my football knowledge.
No,
there you go. I was going to say that.
They shouldn't do that. Like, that's not fair. Like,
well,
for guys
yeah,
to do that. I hate hearing it. I hate when guys do that, because it's not fair. I mean,
it's not fair. Half the guys that try to quiz me don't even know the stuff that they're throwing at me.
You are so right. You are absolutely right. And then that to me, and that's my whole point. That's what makes it so much more impressive, that she can read coverages at this point, and all the guys who are so-called know football and all this other stuff, they literally don't know anything about coverages. And just to hear her say that, man, I'm telling you, just I was smiling the whole interview, the entire interview.
Oh, I know.
Just smiling the whole time.
Trust me, trust and believe. I've heard the stories. So Oscar, for the backstory, for everyone who also doesn't know, his wife is one of my dearest friends, and she's also my sorority sister and godmother to one of my children. So trust and believe, I hear the stories. But I had, in all honesty, though, one of the things that brought her and I close was our love of football and the fact we both have great taste in football teams.
Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, well, of course, the Union, the happy state. I'm surprised the sea didn't part.
Oh my God, it was the cutest thing. I hope Toya's not going to be mad at me for telling this. It was the cutest thing for one of their, it was either your anniversary, first anniversary or wedding gift. They got cute little matching bears. One is in a Cowboys uniform and one is in a Redskins uniform. It was the cutest gift ever. I love it.
Yes, it was.
That's the way it works. That's the way it works in my house. It's the bear to the right and the ram to the left. How does that work?
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
How divine.
Nice. Nice.
I'm in the survival mode too, Troy. I've going on 20 strong. That's why I got foam bats instead of metal bats. I got rid of those a long time ago. I used to go in the garage and there was a baseball bat. My wife used to keep in there and I used to say, what is this for? And she said, it's for severe need. Severe need?
Only during,
who gets
only
to that
during
stage?
Football season. Only during football season.
Exactly.
The rest of the time, all is well.
This woman is living on 34 for a long time. It's 34 or 54 for her, and that's it. Because she says no knucklehead in the history of the Chicago Bears besides Jim McMahon would be willing to play quarterback at this point. So she's never acknowledged a quarterback in their team, ever.
Oh, my God, that is so funny. Well, she would love it. When I was, I think it was my sophomore year in college, you know, as a cheerleader, and we actually played in Soldier Field. And we played on Soldier Field. It was a Mississippi Valley State versus Grambling State. And I will never forget playing on Soldier Field. That place is huge. And I have never in my life been so cold. Oh, my God. I don't know how they do it. I mean, we couldn't even cheer in our uniforms. We had to switch into sweatsuits to finish out after the first quarter. We were done because it is so cold. So I earned much respect. Anybody that plays in Soldier Field, because that wind is serious.
Along those lines, Kishi, I took her to Soldier Field for one of her birthdays. I set up the whole thing. 29 degrees, okay? 29 degrees, all right?
Yikes.
And she was used to going to the Edward Jones Dome, which is the comfy of comfort zone. Okay, no weather factor, nothing, okay? We get to Soldier Field, and her first reaction to me is, where's all the souvenir stands? I said, woman, you are back in the 30s. The souvenir stands is what everybody's wearing that are hand-me-downs from everybody else that was wearing them. And she's like,
man.
What?
Yes.
And she couldn't believe it. And you turn to the right. You turn to the right, and guess what? There's more men in line at the bathrooms than there is women. So she, right there, I tell her, you're in bear country. Do you understand? You're in bear country.
All the time.
Man, I'm telling you, because you know, when you get on the field, we actually had to step down to get onto the field, whereas most fields are kind of, you come out the tunnel, everything's kind of level, and the way everything was set up, and it was sunk so low, and I'm thinking, it's so high, and, you know, there's this humongous stadium all around me. No, that hawk just went down and lifted. I mean, it was just evil. But it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life because, you know, I clearly remember it. And I think my favorite part was one of the band guys was so cold that he was standing there shaking so long before the battle of the band. And he froze, like his legs froze, and he fell over because his legs locked, and the only thing Chief said was, get my horn. And Chief was our band director, and he was just like, the only thing he said was, get my horn, not get the band guy. But no, great memories. And so, I mean, if football, you know what I think I really love most about listening to Brooke and her family was how much football brings people together. And I think we really underestimate how much this sport really connects families and friends and the value. And if women's football has that opportunity to connect families, then I really am looking forward to seeing that happen. And listening to her reminded me of when I was a little girl and I played basketball. Yeah, I know, I was a multi-sport kid. So I played basketball and I remember watching Cheryl Miller. And I just remember being inspired and wanting and waiting, saying, God, please let there be professional women's basketball. And I say this without any shame. when they finally announced the WNBA and there was a finally going to be a game, I wept. You know, as a female, I wept because there were days when I didn't think that I was going to see people who look like me do something that I love. So I really and truly love being a part of this project and being a part of, you know, the Gridiron Blitz because, again, I get to be a part of something that's amazing, awesome, and groundbreaking. And so to see it coming to life, you know, even though I'm not old, I'm too old to play now, it's still awesome. So
yeah, and we talked about it. You know how
it's
going to be the same road for you to for some of these players to see, you know, the Carly Harmons, the Sam Gordons,
mm-hmm.
and the Brooke Lipsky,
mm-hmm.
You know, go into the Women's Pro League if we ever get a Women's Pro League. It's going to be like, a dawning of, you know, the days. And it's going to be a lot of these existing players, like I've mentioned before, a lot of the existing IWFL and WFA players that are now playing right now, this is the next generation of coaches that's going to
yeah.
be filtered into colleges or into the NFL. At some point,
mm-hmm.
we might not see a female, you know, squad or a league yet, but we are going to start to see the contributions of the women that have played, you know, women's football into the colleges and the pro level at some point. So we're already starting to see that, you know. So I think that's the first kick in the door. And then after that, it's going to be the foundation. Because right now, we're not even at the foundation. We're just in the introduction of this is a true sport. That's exciting right now as well. So, Troy and Kishi, before we got started here, RG3 to L.A., if it isn't going to be Peyton Manning, do you think, and Kishi, RG3 fits in L.A.?
Really? Okay. I don't know where he fits. I know it's not Dallas.
Well, we know that.
But I'm biased. But no, well, because there are a lot of, God help me, I don't understand it, but there are a lot of Cowboy fans who really want to see that. And earlier this evening, I was actually on the phone with one of my fellow female diehard Cowboy fans, and she said she will be the first in line to buy a jersey if it happens. So, you know, my feelings on this are not unbiased from a professional point of view. I honestly don't know if I want him to go to L.A. because the team is in such nothing personal, Oscar. It's such a state of disarray. What RG3 really
is calling a mess.
I was trying to be polite about this.
No.
It's a mess.
I mean, you let go of your defensive players. I don't know if they're rebuilding at this point. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, I don't want to see him go to something that's already dysfunctional because
is
not going to give him what he needs. He needs to go to something with stability and with some grounding and something that is founded so that he can do like what Brock Osweiler did and just sit behind someone, be another backup for another year, but this time actually be a backup behind someone who's only got 1 or 2 years, and then they're going to be going on someplace else retiring so that he can have some stability, not go someplace and expect it to come in and take over and lead them to the promised land, because this isn't a Drew Brees leaving San Diego, going to New Orleans situation. It just isn't. So
I don't want him to go
to L.A.
Do you guys get the sense that maybe he'll land up in Arizona? Of all places, that's my feeling.
I would be okay with Arizona. I would be fine. Arizona would be a great fit.
Well, I mean, the one thing that you have to take into context is that, the Redskins are, you know, reportedly hoping that someone comes in and trades for RG3. I just don't think that's going to happen because, you know, a lot of things have to happen. RG3 have to sign a new deal. No team wants to pay him $16.2 million to either sit on the bench or be a starter, even if that were the case. But if that's the case, RG3 gets cut. He'll be a free agent. He gets to choose wherever he wants to go. I think RG3 will try to go to a situation where he feels like he can become a starter. Now, most people will come back and sit and say, I don't think RG3 is a starter. I don't think he can come in and turn a franchise around. I don't think RG3 thinks that. So I think he'll go to a situation where he feels like he has a very good chance to play. Now, will he go to Dallas? I don't think that's a fit out of just the type of offense that they run. He didn't succeed very well in the West Coast offense. Jason Garrett is probably not so willing to change his playbook for him. You know, you brought up a good point with Arizona. You know, if he could go out there, I mean, Bruce Arians, the way this guy can coach up quarterbacks, and I've said all along, I think the best place for him to go would also be Kansas City, where you have Andy Reid, who was so innovative as an offensive coordinator that I think he can come together and put some packages together for RG3. Ultimately, I think if he does go to L.A., that would probably be the only place I can think of right now where he could actually compete for a starting job. He does have a decent defense that will be able to back him up. So would that be the best choice? Also, and there is a wild card that he could actually go to Denver. You know, you also have to keep in mind, Von Miller is about to be signed to a long-term deal. Are they going to have enough to sign Osweiler, because he is also a free agent? So that's a wild card in itself. So we'll see how this thing's pan out. But I think it's either Arizona, L.A., or Denver.
Yeah, it makes sense, those three places. The only one that I don't think makes so much perfect sense for him would be Los Angeles, because of the way they're still structuring their system. Because I know in Arizona, even as a backup, or in Denver as a backup, he would still be given an opportunity maybe to start, you know, if one of those quarterbacks went down or something like that. So he'd have that luxury as well. And then, you know, given the stability in those two organizations right now in their last couple seasons, that's probably the better fit. Los Angeles, as much as it's my team right now, it's just, I don't know what the GM is doing there. I don't know what the draft's going to look like right now. So a lot of question marks there, but Arizona to me would be the better fit, but Denver, could be an option, especially if Manny decides to go ahead and retire.
Yeah, I mean, and that looks, you know, about as promising as you can get. I mean, what better defense to play behind than that one? But, you know, and then I'm looking at it this way as well. If I am a GM, who do I take? Do I take any of these quarterbacks coming out in the draft, or would I go with RG3? And I'm just saying, like, with RG3's upside, yeah, he did struggle, but he also didn't have necessarily a coaching staff that believed in him, you know, namely the head coach. He didn't have a guy that believed in him, and I think RG3 is the type of person that needs to be surrounded by positivity. As funny as that sounds, you know, we all think about rough, tough football players, but, hey, we all need to feel supported. So I think if he goes to a situation where he is actually wanted and you have someone that's going to put in time for him, you know, because, again, Gruden came out and said that he didn't have time to coach him his first year. To me, that was egregious, because that was the entire reason why he was hired. So, you know, it's a lot of caveats that goes along with this, but, it's going to pan out. Honestly, for me, as long as he doesn't go to Philadelphia, I'll be a fan of the kid.
Of course. That's almost like somebody going to the Niners. That can't happen. I agree with you.
So, Troy, Troy, I have a question. When he said he can't coach him, when John Gruden said that, was it that he was saying RG3 was uncoachable, or that he wasn't investing the time into coaching him? And I'm asking clarity.
What he said was that, you know, he didn't realize that as a head coach, he wouldn't have as much time to spend with the quarterbacks. You know, before, Jake Gruden was a coordinator with Cincinnati.
Right, because he worked with Andy Dalton. Right.
And he had, but, you know, as an offensive coordinator, you have the freedom to work with your quarterback. Well, when he came here as a head coach, he had responsibilities as far as to the media. He had responsibilities as far as, like, organizing the, you know, how they were going to get to these games. I mean, just keep in mind, when you're a head coach in the NFL, you're not doing a whole lot of coaching. You're an organizer. I mean, what you're doing is you're basically organizing your team. And what he found was that he did not have time to spend with his quarterbacks. And so at that point in time, they had to go ahead and hire Matt Kavanaugh as the quarterback's coach. But to me, again, I think it's egregious that he came in under the auspices that he told Dan Snyder, I can get this guy to work. I can go ahead and coach him up. And then all of a sudden he comes back and says, and this is during midseason, you know, where they were bickering, that I can't coach this kid. You know, I don't know. I mean, but, you know. I'm not saying Jake Gruden is a bad coach. Obviously, they did pretty well this year with the limited amount of talent that they had. But I just felt like, you know, RG3 didn't get a fair shake. So hopefully wherever he goes after that, he does.
We're looking at the Colin Kaepernick syndrome as well. I mean, that's another, you know, they're going to keep him, not going to keep him. You know, every rumor now the last couple of weeks is everybody's going to L.A. What is that? I mean, what kind of rumors are that? That's just ridiculous. Just because they got a team in the number one market now, everybody seems to, you know, rumor has it they're going to go to the Rams. Can you guys, the two of you, tell me, are we that bad off in terms of administration that everybody is just, you know, wanting to go there at this point? Or is it just the hype or what?
In my opinion, I think it has less to do with the market and more to do with what you have at quarterback right now. And, you know, let's just be honest. I mean, you know, the quarterback position with the Rams was, you know, pretty underwhelming.
Are you saying that Case Keenum can't take us to the championship?
I'm saying that, you know, what you would probably find is...
He's not listening, Troy, by the way, just to let you know. He's not listening.
You might have a grizzly bear line up at quarterback quicker than Case Keenum would be able to take their team to the Super Bowl, put it like that. You'll see a real grizzly bear line up in the NFL, then you'll see Keenum taking the Rams to the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
Well, Vince Bergamo did take us to the Super Bowl, but I don't think he's a Case Keenum.
Yeah, but don't forget, you guys had Youngblood on that time, man. I mean, God played with broken leg.
That's true. I believe Laurinaitis will end up in New Orleans land, from what all the rumors are, because that's going to be a big blow for us to let go of somebody like that. And Long, I don't know what they're doing with that defense. You would assume that they would have kept that core of everything intact at least, but it just questionable moves. Just questionable moves. Okay, guys. I want to just give a shout-out to Aaron Gifford Designs, who has put up a couple designs on our shop. So you can go to the Shop Now tab on Facebook or on Twitter. You can follow the link there. And the shirts are at our featured design shop at the Gridiron Beauty Shop on Zazzle.com. And they're Aaron Gifford Designs. You can also visit her on Twitter at Aaron_designer. You can get... cool designs made from her, and she can give you some great rates as well. So go visit on Twitter at Aaron_designer, so you can get some good stuff. Every item sold, as we talked about with Brooke before, every item sold that we have at the project shop on Zazzle helps to promote another talented player. Excited, like in the beginning of the hour, Sarah Hee Crespi, Matilda Quist. We had Renee Hahn before that, Stacey Spears, Christy L. Moran, Lauren Evans, Christy Moore, Julia Olson, Caitlin Gleam, and I can go on and on and on in terms of all the players that are jumping on board on our brand to bring more awareness to the sport. So let's go into the huddle with the women's recap, and let's go down to finish it up there because I know it's – we're pressed for time at this point for a little bit.
Yeah, and I really feel bad, but I've got to jump off. And
right, no worries.
I know. I only stayed later, you know, just because I know I hadn't been on for a minute, and I had to do that. But you guys, I missed you all. Something terrible, and I will definitely be back next week. Yay!
Cool. So me and Troy will finish up here, and then we'll see you next week.
See you guys next week. Take care, everyone.
All right, man.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, Troy, let's head on over to Australia, and we're going to pretty much go around the globe at this point. Spanish League kicks off this coming weekend. We'll have previews on Twitter and Facebook, so we don't have the matchups at this point today, but we'll get them started tomorrow and through Friday on the FIFA_Spain schedule. But at this point, we'll go to Gridiron Australia, and let's head there first.
Okay, Gridiron Victoria opened the weekend, showcased the champions, the Geelong Bucks, with the NJF supporter Rochelle Cranston beating the Melbourne Chargers 60-24. It was a tough battle, but the Bucks ultimately ran away with the win and kick off their season opener. Now, the next game featured the Croydon Rangers versus the Berwick Diamonds. Now, the Rangers outplayed the Diamonds, and they won the game 48-0 behind Bliss Love. And the next game, the last game of the weekend, showcased the 2015 runner-up, Northern Lady Raiders, and they defeated the first-year Pakenham Silverbacks 61-8. Now, you can catch all the game recaps up on the league site and also on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter. Visit Women's Gridiron Leagues of Australia on Facebook or on Twitter at Women's Gridiron for the latest news on the Australian season. Now, the Australian Women's State Championships will be in April 2006 on our websites. And also, the Gridiron NSW was featured in the Southern Courier League, in the Southern Courier, featuring the Outback Camp experience with Dr. Jim Welter.
So we go to LGL News, which is the Ladies Gridiron League. The Gridiron League, Ladies Gridiron League Grand Final was this past February 27th in Adelaide. Triple header and the Bounty Round Robin event for the semifinals and the Grand Final. First game was the West Coast Angels defeated the Canberra Mustangs 6-0 in the semifinals. And then the Mustangs faced the Adelaide Phoenix in the $1,000 Bounty Bowl. They defeated the Phoenix 26-6. Phoenix ended up the season undefeated at 3-0. So the grand final was for the final cup. Match featured the West Coast Angels taking on the Adelaide Phoenix. Phoenix looks to win it all after a perfect regular season behind Lisa Fife, Chelsea Farr, and Elizabeth Del Rey. But Tegan Brown and Kara Spreiland and Ryanna Epbrook spoiled the party. Both squads in a duel at the half, 14-14. But in the second half, the West Coast Angels in their third quarter surge with scoring by Edbrook and Spreiland to 30-22. The Phoenix would not be done yet behind Lisa Fife and Del Rey with the last efforts. Fife ended up leaving the game injured towards the last quarter there, and she's recovering as we speak right now. So prayers out to her. And the Angels win the inaugural LGL Cup 36-28. You can relive the moment via our network partner, the LGL End Zone, on Facebook, on their timeline, or on Twitter at the LGL End Zone as well. Stay tuned for the Project 628 Grand Final broadcast, which will be pending at this point. And once we get the dates up, we will let you know. You can visit the LGL website at ladiesgridiron.com, ladiesgridiron.com for the upcoming events that they'll be on in the off season. Let's go to LFL now in the States.
Heather Furr will be announcing her formal retirement. Now, the Bliss veteran will not return in the 2016 season. And you can also check out the latest stories of the upcoming LFL season on Twitter, at LFL360, and at the website, www.LFL360.com. You can also check out the official page, the LFLUS.com page. And also stay tuned for Ball Hawk Nest LFL talk in the next coming weeks.
In the U.S. Realm of full kit, Women's World Games, as we talked about at the beginning of the hour, Women's World Football Games 3 at the New Orleans Saints facility is happening right now, March 1st through the 6th, and we'll keep tabs on that. Stay tuned all week. Tag WWFG3 for the latest news and updates, and we'll be updating on our Facebook page and Twitter all through the week. Plus, you can visit the official women's page on usafootball.com, usafootball.com/women World Football Games. So you can go to the women's tab on usafootball.com. The Utah Girls Football League is now taking registrations for their second season for 2016. You can go to utahgirlstackle.com, utahgirlstackle.com. Visit their Facebook page at Utah Girls Tackle Football League, Utah Girls Tackle Football League, and on Twitter at UT Girls Tackle, UT Girls Tackle. Follow the Western Women's Canadian Football League and the Maritime Women's Football League on Twitter at WWCFL and MWFL Football for the 2016 schedules, and their season will kick off in May. You can follow the Western Women's Canadian Football League on Facebook at Western Women's Canadian Football League, and the Maritime Women's Football League site, you can go to MWFL.pointstreaksite.com. And the Sugar and Spice Football League will also be kicking off, and tryouts are underway now, and you get all the news and updates. You get details and information at sugarandspicefootball.com/tryouts, sugarandspicefootball/tryouts. If you need a tab on the leagues that we follow, you can go to our Facebook page, and on the left side, there's like a page. You can get all the links to all the leagues that we follow internationally as well as domestically in the States. Let's go to the WFA news now, Troy.
2016 schedules are now available on the U.S. League websites. You can follow them on Twitter, at WFA Football, and also at IWFL for the links. Now, also, the WFA trading cards are being produced for the 2016 season by Del Jamelo, D-O-J-I-M-E-L-O, featuring the WFA stars. You can visit the website, is www.wfacards.com. You can search for your favorite player or your favorite regional superstar. Catch the latest WFA Nation series, talking women's gridiron topics, and how to improve the sport as a whole. You can do that at the website, wfanation.com. And also, go to G.I. Clemdom and check out the amazing stories of the talented young ladies playing hashtag no joke football. Also, make sure to use the hashtag no joke football.
Now, in Mexico, the Mexico Federation of American Football held their first ever tournament this past weekend that featured FX Mexico, Lexfa Mexico, and other squads from Chiapas and Tabasco. It was the first tournament to gauge the talent as they prepare to put a full team for the IFAB World Championships in 2017. So we'll keep an eye and tabs on that. And there's another tournament coming up this coming weekend. We just were informed this afternoon, and we'll update you on the dates. It's going to happen in central Mexico, and it's also organized by Lexfa. So the FX group dominated the event, followed by Lexfa coming in second at the Mexican Federation of American Football National Tournament. You can check out the highlights of the event on our Facebook timeline. And shout out to Ella Deporte, Joslar 46, and Tercer Cuarto, which is third quarter. Tercer Cuarto _ for the updates on Twitter as well. FXL Week 2 featured Beats versus Amazonas in the conjunction with the men's new pro league in Mexico, the LFA-MX. The champion Beats defeated Amazonas 18-0 to continue their winning streak from 2015. The Jaguars and Beats remain undefeated through 2 weeks. Don't miss the season games. Check out their Facebook page at FXL for details and times. And they're going to be playing one game every week in conjunction with the men's league. So it's pretty exciting there. The PGFL season kicks off on March 5th, featuring our No Joke Football supporters, the champion Wes Angels. Check out the 2016 schedule and teams on our Facebook page and their live events. LIBF Mexico will kick off March 5th also. We'll get the details on our page as soon as we get more information on the live event and the dates. Let's go to England, Troy.
Hey, we're happy to announce that the first woman to play on the men's squad happened. So the Hertfordshire Hurricanes made it official that Sarah Glassboro will be on the team. Her position details will be to come soon, so I wanted to give a shout-out to Sarah for that. The 2016 Sapphire Series of the British American Women's Tournament, the BAFA Women 27, 2016. Now, the round one events, the three-time champs, Birmingham Lions, they showcased their dominance, finished the first round on top of the Division I standings alongside their Hertfordshire Tornadoes. In Division II, North Edinburgh Wolves and the Teesside Steelers, they hold the top spots. In Division II, South London Warriors and the Sandwell Steelers hold up the top seeds. Check out the Round 1 recaps on our Facebook page and follow BAFA Women, Women's Football on Facebook, plus on Twitter at UK First Down and also at BAFA Women on Twitter for the latest.
So a reminder to visit our Zazzle shop at zazzle.com/gridironbeauties. You can save up to 50% off daily. Follow us on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty and our Facebook page, Gridiron Beauties, for the number one source covering women's gridiron 24/7, and that would be us. So don't forget to go like us on our Instagram page. Use the hashtag NoJokeFootball on your post to get the buzz going. Check out the amazing and talented women playing American football globally. Troy, can you finish this off?
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout-out to Brooke Leach for being on the show with us and helping us out on our project, Like a Girl, hashtag Like a Girl. And also, if you want to be on the show, just email us, and you can do so at gridironbeauties@gmail.com, and we can get the word out on your team, league, or profile a player toward the 2016 season. Go to GI Quindam and check out all the amazing stories of the talented young ladies playing #NoJokeFootball. You can also follow on Twitter at Women's Gridiron and at Jocelyn46 for the latest news in Australia and the FXF Mexico scene. Don't forget to follow on NFL Game Days. You can also follow all of us at Kishi's Cuties. You can follow on Kishi there. You can follow myself at TroyWilson_1. That's also on Twitter, at PatsFangirl12, and at SitForLife for NFL Talk.
So that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for everybody to come on, and we cannot wait for the week to end. An amazing week at the Women's World Football Games 3. Just a reminder, make sure you guys are using the hashtag. If you are at the games and you're one of the players participating in the event for this whole week, reminder, use the hashtag WWFG3, and so we can go ahead and, you know, share and supply the retweets so that the fans understand that there's an event going on and we have all that fanfare. Shout out to Sam Rappaport at USA and Elizabeth Foss at USA. Dr. Jen Walker is going to be there. Katie Sowers is going to be there. So exciting times for the women's game here, and we'll keep tabs on it all week long until the event's over. So, Troy, we'll be here next week, and we'll break down a little bit more of the draft because everything's pretty much over. The combine's over. At this point, free agency should be somewhat in a more understanding in terms of what teams are going to go after who. So we'll break that down next week a little bit more further in terms of what's going on with the NFL and that aspect of it. And then more updates next week because we have the Spanish Leagues live. BAFA Women's going to come up again. And then we're going to have the Mexico tournament, more information on that. So a lot to talk about next week. We'll see you here. Thanks to Brooke and for Tammy and Larry, her mom and dad, for having her on today. And we'll look forward to another edition of the Gridiron Blitz right here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. Have a great night, everybody.
Have a good one, guys.